You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast from 1600 ESPN. It's the Gym Class with Scott Unash and Mark Dukes on 1600 ESPN KGYM.
Greetings and welcome. Championship week is upon us in a big, big way as the Power Sixes take over here today in the world of college basketball and also the mid-majors minus the Missouri Valley. We'll talk a lot of hoops with you here on a Thursday edition of the Gym Class here on 1600 ESPN, Eastern Iowa's home for sports, KGYM. Scott Unash with you, Mark Dukes from the back porch in the southwest side. Andrew on the other side of the glass here today in the dark.
Yeah, your studio is letting a whole bunch of light in, so I don't need mine on.
I know, we got the curtain up today a little bit more. I brought it down just a smidge, but... Yeah. You know, it's a different look outside, and got green grass everywhere around Eastern Iowa after the rains last night. Amazing how that works. To get that layer of winter leftover off. Uh-huh. Not saying that we're done with winter.
No.
Not saying that at all, but I'm always optimistic.
Yes.
Always optimistic.
Yeah, the rain took me by surprise last night because one of my dogs decided to start growling at the thunder, which I wasn't expecting either, so it startled me for a second.
My dog slept through it. I slept. I didn't. You're the first person to tell me it thundered last night.
Yeah.
All right. 319-366-1600. That is the text line. That is the phone line as well. Again, 319-366-1600 as we come your way from the Econutrition Studios here on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids. Kevin Lehman's going to join us. We'll have a Bowling Night in America wrap-up as I bring Mark Dukes in for a Thursday edition of the program. Did you hear thunder last night?
I sleep through thunder as well, Scott. Good afternoon to you and Andrew and everyone out there. And I once slept when I was a young child, slept through a tornado.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
Woke up in the morning and trees are toppled. And yeah, this was back in probably 60s, late 60s, early 70s. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
And I've never changed. I'm a good sleeper.
You're a good sleeper. We got a lot to get to. As I mentioned, championship. This is a great week and a great weekend. One of the busiest ones on the sports calendar because not only do you have it's Selection Sunday, of course. We will have that show for you. We got wall-to-wall basketball coming up on Sunday. We've got a couple of championship games prior to the unveiling of the men's field of 68. I believe then the women's field also going to be unveiled on Sunday. Usually do that on Monday, but I think they moved it to Sunday. If I'm wrong on that, let me know. But Mark, you have made me feel a lot more secure about that. We'll have that from Westwood One coming up. And we have the Players' Championship going on, the crown jewel of the PGA Tour events. Yes, I know it's not a major, but you have to keep in mind that the PGA Tour does not run the majors. Augusta National runs the Masters. USGA runs the United States Open. The PGA of America runs the PGA Championship. And the RNA runs the Open Championship. So this is the biggie for the PGA Tour. And all the big names are there, and they've had controversy today. My goodness, there's nothing better than golf controversy to get everybody riled up today. But we start with college basketball. And right now, if you had, I just want to make sure I've got this correct here. If you had Maryland and 38, you are not on the winning side right now because the Wisconsin Badgers are absolutely shooting the lights out in Minneapolis today. They're over 70% from three as another one goes up, and they missed one. How about that? 5.5 to go. It's all Wisconsin, 81-42. They are absolutely dismantling the Maryland Terrapins at this point. Earlier on today, a much tighter game. Michigan State more than likely punched their ticket mark to the NCAA tournament as they took out the home Minnesota Golden Gophers. I put home in quotation marks and do the air quotes, if you will. Andrew can vouch for me that I'm doing the air quotes.
He's doing them.
Okay. Knocked out Minnesota, so Michigan State probably in the tournament. And then tonight we've got a pair of games from Minneapolis. The early game is Iowa and Ohio State, the 7-10 going at it. And a lot on the line for both teams. And then following that, it's going to be Indiana and Penn State going at it. If this is the way Wisconsin's going to play for 4 days, Mark, give them the trophy right now, because right now they are putting on a clinic.
Yeah, one of those games. Second game in 2 days for Maryland, and Maryland played pretty good the first game. And Wisconsin, as you mentioned, you know, just destroying Maryland right now and is going to move on. And pretty good game earlier, Michigan State and Minnesota. It was kind of back and forth before Michigan State took control late, and Sparty faces Purdue next, I believe.
Correct.
Tough assignment there, no question about it. But really look forward to tonight, not only the Iowa game, but Iowa State and Kansas State.
Yeah, Iowa State and Kansas State. A lot of folks thought it was going to be Iowa State and Texas, the 2-7. But Kansas State, knowing that they have their backs to the wall, they are the bubble team as far as the Big 12 is concerned. We talked about that yesterday with Mike DeCourcy from the Big Ten Network and the Sporting News. If you want to go back and listen to that, as well as any of our podcasts or any of the podcasts from Spencer on Sports or the Todd Brommel Camp Show, you can do that by going to our website at kgymradio.com, or you can go to Apple or Spotify. But Mike saying that Oklahoma is solidly in, despite their loss yesterday. We'll see. I think he's probably right. I don't think it is right, though. Kansas State's got to beat Iowa State tonight, Mark. Can they do it twice within a week? That is the big question. There's going to be a ton of Iowa State people there. Probably going to be a ton of Kansas State people there because, well, one thing, they both travel very well. Iowa State does. Kansas State is right next door in Manhattan. Not a very far trip. A little bit farther than Lawrence. Don't know who bought all the tickets from the Kansas folks, because they're out already. And if you asked Bill Self before the Big 12 tournament got started and said, Coach, would you just like to take a bye in this one and just pass? I think they would have passed. They played last night without two of their best players, arguably two of their best players, and they don't have a bench, and it showed last night. But we'll see who bought more tickets, the Wildcats or the Cyclones, for this session tonight.
Yeah, playing without Dickerson and McCallum, certainly hurt Kansas. We knew the Jayhawks didn't have a deep bench anyway, and Cincinnati handled them fairly easily, and we'll see what Kansas gets in terms of a seed in the NCAA tournament and how much the committee considers the fact that these two guys were out and have been out in the case of McCullers. But the other teams have been affected by injuries as well. So I'm interested to see how that plays into it. Oklahoma, I'm not as adamant as you are about it. I don't know. It's just so difficult to me. Oklahoma has a net of 44, 4-12 against quad one teams. It did beat USC when USC was ranked, now about a 500 team. Did beat Arkansas, a 500 team. Did beat Providence, a 20-win team. Lost badly to North Carolina. I guess what I'm saying is that they played Iowa as well and beat Iowa. So I guess it all adds up to is Mike DeCourcy said yesterday nobody has had Oklahoma out of the tournament. But I think it's a sort of a flimsy resume to me when you finish under 500 in your league, albeit arguably the best one in the country.
Yeah. Some very interesting stuff happening today. 319-366-1600, by the way, if you'd like to weigh in on the text line as we talk a little college hoops. Kevin Lehman, the coach, going to join us in about 12 minutes or so with our Off the Glass segment. But mentioned Michigan State is in more than likely with their win. Two top-seeded teams went down today, Toledo in the MAC and Richmond in the A-10. Now, Toledo, MAC's going to get one, so that's not a real big issue, but it is for the A-10, Mark, because they were slated to get two teams in, Dayton and Richmond. And, well, Dayton was going to be a shoe-in, and then if they won the A-10, they would get two bids. Looks like the A-10 is only going to get one now, which opens up a bubble team. So if you were a fan of the Indiana State Sycamores or just like to see a mid-major get in there, you got a little bit of help today because Richmond at 23-9 more than likely is going to be headed to the NIT. So anything can happen, as we know, in conference championship week. St. John's needed a win. Looks like they are going to get it. They are up 10 in the Big East quarterfinals as they take on Seton Hall. Pitt needed a win. Actually, so did Wake. And right now, Pitt is ahead by 10 with 7:50 to play, 59-49 in that one. Utah State, the number one seed in the Mountain West. Tell you how good the Mountain West is. Fresno State, the 9 seed right now at half, is ahead by 1. That is a 36-35 game. And Houston doing what Houston does. TCU, Mark, did not score in the first 10 minutes of their quarterfinal today with the Houston Cougars. Let that sink in for a while. Did not score. And
no.
They are behind 31-15 right now at halftime.
Yeah, it was 16-0 before TCU got its first basket at about the 10:30 mark of the first half. And we knew Houston's a very good team. And TCU kind of battled back, was within, you know, a couple goals. But Houston has widened that lead. And that's just a damn good basketball team that I think is going to go pretty far in my bracket, which tells people not to pick Houston in their bracket.
Yeah. 319-366-1600. Iowa-Ohio State. Let's focus on that first tonight. Hawks number 10 seed. No, I beg your pardon. Ohio State number 10. Iowa at number 7 right now. And Iowa, of course, needs to win to keep their faint NCAA hopes alive. They are not even in the first four out. They are in the next four out as far as Joe Lunardi is concerned. Ohio State at 19-12. They have had a Phoenix-type rebirth since Jake Diebler took over as the head coach of the Ohio State Buckeyes, replacing Chris Holtmann, who, by the way, is now going to be the next head coach for, Mark, the DePaul Blue Demons. That was announced earlier on today. It's not going to be Porter Mosier. It's going to be Chris Holtmann going to the Big East and DePaul. So interesting right there. But Ohio State has been playing as good as anybody right now in the Big Ten Conference. And we'll see if a little bit of time off maybe cooled off the Buckeyes a little bit. But you got two teams right now who desperately need wins. This is, in essence, an elimination game tonight.
Well, the first and only game between these two teams this year could have went either way. It went Iowa's way by 2 points. And Iowa coming off, maybe it's one of its worst performance of the year on Senior Day last Sunday against Illinois. I fully expect Iowa to come out and play very well tonight. Whether it's going to be good enough, I don't know. It obviously depends on how well Ohio State plays, but I think this is going to be another back-and-forth game. And in terms of the NCAA tournament, I don't think you can even start a conversation that includes Iowa without the Hawkeyes making the championship game.
I would agree. And Ohio State probably in the same boat, I want to say, at this point. I mean, the Buckeyes, they have to win. They probably have to win a couple more, probably have to get to Sunday. If they do, that would give them 21 wins and might give them a little bit of hope as far as hearing their name called. The first time around in the two-point win for Iowa, Jameson Battle really hurt the Hawkeyes. He went for 20 in that game. Bruce Thornton has had a very good season for Ohio State, averaging about 16 points a game. Zed Key has been around for 150 years, it seems, for Ohio State. And first time around, Tony Perkins had a big game for Iowa in that win. And Tony Perkins, seniors, Mark, don't want their careers to come to an end. I mean, Iowa more than likely is going to get an NIT bid. We know that. But still that slimmer of hope for a chance to get into the big dance. And I think Tony Perkins is going to have a good game tonight. I think he's going to lay it out on the line.
He's had very good games in the Big Ten tournament. And, you know, Iowa's going to need another one from him because he didn't play well against Illinois, nor did Cricky, nor did McCaffrey. McCaffrey been on the stage before. I think Iowa's going to have to have a big game out of Perkins, a big game out of Owen Freeman, and more consistent play from Peyton Sanford, who's been terrific, and Josh Dix, maybe get off the schneid that he was on against Illinois.
Mercifully, it's over in Minneapolis. Wisconsin has put Maryland out of their misery, 87-56. So the Badgers win by 31. They led by 41 points at one point in the second half. Let's go down to Troy in Muscatine County joining us here today. Talk about Iowa and Ohio State at 3:21 on Thursday of the gym class. Troy, good afternoon. How you doing?
Great. I'm excited for this matchup. I hope Iowa gets off to a good shooting start and plays with confidence. I think they have a chance, but I wanted to ask you, what do you think the key to Ohio State's turnaround is? To me, Diebler just took the reins off the team and let them play. I thought Holtman was just micromanaging that team too much. What's your take on that?
I would agree. They just look more relaxed since they made the coaching change. And you will get that bump. I mean, we've talked about it before. You're going to get that coaching change bump. Seems to always happen, whether it's in the professional ranks or the college ranks. But I would agree with you. I think there was just a little bit too much coaching going on.
Too much Butler influence?
What's that?
Too much Butler influence?
Well, possibly. Possibly in there. Mark, what did you see?
No, I agree with both of you, really. That doesn't mean Diebler's a better coach than Holtman. And I actually hope Holtman gets it going at DePaul. That's been a program that deserves a whole lot better. But you're right, Scott. Teams often get a bump. And Troy, you're right. I think Ohio State was playing freer these days, and that's translated to better.
What do you expect tonight, Troy? W for Iowa, or is it going to be a tough one?
I am totally torn by this because I have a feeling Iowa's due for a bounce back. They've been playing so well consistently, and they've been playing very free themselves. So I think it's a toss-up game. It might be a play-in game.
Yeah, all right. Hey, thanks for the call. Appreciate it.
Thanks. Great show.
3:23 on the Thursday edition of the Gym Class here on 1600 ESPN. And 319-366-1600, that is the phone line. That is our text line as well if you'd like to weigh in on Iowa and Ohio State. We've got Iowa State and Kansas State. We will join up with the Cyclone Network at 6 o'clock for the 6:05 tip-off. John Walters and Eric Heft will have that for you right after Spencer on Sports. If Iowa State wins, we will have their game tomorrow night. They will play in the late semifinal tomorrow evening. So that would be a 7:30 pregame for that one and an 8:35 tip-off approximately. I wouldn't expect that thing to get underway ahead of 8:45, though. These games tend to take longer as you get to the conference tournaments and into the postseason. And but we will have those for you. If by chance Iowa State goes down tonight, gets upset by Kansas State, we will still have the Big 12 semifinals for you from ESPN. And then I have no idea what's going on Saturday as of yet. We're going to know a lot more, Andrew, after tonight. So we'll know a lot more to put out there on our website at kgymradio.com. It's going to be college basketball. We know that. We just got to make sure. If Iowa State's in the Big 12 championship game, by golly, we're going to have the Iowa State call on that.
Yes, absolutely.
Other than that, ask me in about 6 hours.
Yeah.
And we'll see how it all plays out. But that's what's fun about March in this time of the year. You don't know who's going to win. You don't know the games.
Nope, no idea.
Yeah, and if you do, then go to Vegas, which I heard at the top of the hour, 2.7 billion mark. If you did not catch that, there's going to be more than double bet on the NCAA tournament than there was on the Super Bowl. How about that, huh?
That's shocking.
That is.
Yeah, I think those two events have been one, too, for a while, and I'm not sure there's more games, obviously, in March Madness, and maybe there's more wagers placed, but those two events seem to be the most wagered upon across the country, so, and it's going to be the same thing. I'll stick to my pool and leave it at that.
Yeah, and we will have a pool for you. More details to come right here on 1600 ESPN, our annual pool. Looking forward to that. We'll have more details once the field of 68 for the men's tournament is put together. And yes, 1489, don't forget about the Wartburg women. They are in the Division III Final Four as well. Congratulations to the Knights. Good representation among Iowa schools as far as national champions are concerned. Iowa State and Kansas State, again, we'll have that for you tonight. Iowa State just fell at the Octagon of Death last Saturday in Manhattan, Kansas. So going to be a different crowd. Apparently, a ton of Iowa Staters down in the Power and Light District from what I heard earlier on today. 319-366-1600. 0189. We'll ask Mark about that coming up, and at least public lack of interest as far as Justin Fields is concerned. Doesn't mean there's talk in the background that Justin Fields may end up somewhere around draft time. It just it hasn't happened as of yet, Mark. Right? A trade for your Chicago Bears quarterback.
Not as yet, and I'm still confounded as to what the Bears are going to do. I think the majority of the opinion is that he's going to get dealt, and the Bears are going to take Caleb Williams. Kind of lukewarm on that, but I don't know if there's a market out there for Fields or not. The fact that Cousins went to Atlanta, Pittsburgh filled its quarterback role. Those are two teams that were rumored for Fields. The Bears don't even know. I mean, a few weeks ago, we'll have a decision by Monday. They still don't know. Maybe because all these trades have come about and it's muddied the waters for the Bears, but I don't know. I really don't know which direction the Bears are going to go.
I don't think anybody does at this particular time. We know what direction we are going, and that is to an Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update. It's brought to you by Emil's Hideaway and First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids. Open at 4 o'clock Monday through Saturday. A huge range of burgers and fries, great salads, pizza, pasta, soups, sandwiches. They've got it all. You can check out their terrific menu online at emilshideaway.com, right across from the Lindale Mall and next to the Home Depot. And what do we got today?
At the Players Golf Championship, the early wave is finished. The afternoon wave on the course right now, the leaders, Xander Schauffele and Rory McIlroy at 7 under par. Nick Taylor, 1 back at 6 under. Cedar Rapids, Washington has hired its new football coach. His name is Eric Addy. He comes from Des Moines North. And Scott, your Chicago White Sox have dealt Dylan Cease yesterday, actually, to the Padres for three pitchers and an outfielder. And I mentioned to you, I noticed on the over-under totals that I saw the Sox, 63.5 wins this year.
yeah. I told you earlier today, I'm searching for a reason to watch Chicago White Sox baseball this year. And I have not found one as of yet, other than watching Luis Robert make the All-Star team. Because you have to have a representative, and more than likely it's going to be number 88. Other than that, I really don't see any reason to watch the White Sox.
One final item on the scoreboard, and you mentioned the Iowa team's doing well in the postseason. Upper Iowa's men's basketball team qualified for the Division II national tournament with a 21-9 record. The Peacocks will open against Kentucky Wesleyan Saturday in Indianapolis. That team includes Brooks McGowan, the brother of the Kennedy coach, and league player of the year Jake Hilmer from Northland. Austin Hilmer also on the team, and Nick Reed from Central City. So good Eastern Iowa representation, and good luck to Upper Iowa.
Yeah, and mentioned Wartburg. They are going to have their semifinal coming up at the top of the hour. They are going to play Smith College. That will get underway at 4 o'clock. The other semifinal is going to be between NYU 29-0 and Transylvania at 31-0. No, I don't know the nickname of Transylvania, but
they'll be out for blood, I can tell you.
Ba-dum-bum. Was that Andrew? Was that what you were going to say?
No, I was just going to say I have no idea either.
It's got to be good though. If you know Transylvania's nickname, please let us know on the text line at 319-366-1600. The Twins have looked good in spring training so far. Mark, do you have high hopes for them? 3034 asks.
Well, the Twins have certainly solidified the bullpen, and I'm excited about that. I think it's going to have one of the best bullpens in the league, and with Lopez and others in the starting rotation, I think it's okay. Didn't make a lot of moves. Apart from Carlos Santana, the first baseman to compete there. And I wish it was Santana from 5 years ago. But nevertheless, I think the Twins will contend, if not win, the Central Division. Beyond that, I really don't know.
They're going to beat the White Sox. 3:32, we're going to take a break. Kevin Lehman, the coach, joins us when we come back after this here on 1600 ESPN.
Eastern Iowa weather from 1600 ESPN.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Rebecca Kopelman with your weather first forecast. And we'll have showers through the afternoon and into the early evening. Otherwise, it'll be cloudy with temperatures in the 50s. As we head into tonight, we may have some drizzle lingering and clouds. Temperatures will drop down into the mid-30s. Clouds will clear as we head into tomorrow morning, and temperatures will be in the mid-50s on Friday. Saturday will be in the mid to upper 50s. Winds will be picking up. Cold front moves through and drops the temperatures for Sunday. That's your latest Iowa's News Now weather first forecast.
Hey, hungry? And your heart is ticking for chicken? Well, take a quick turn into Quickstar, because we got
no ordinary chicken.
Yeah, go wild with wings, next level super wings, with trusty Sidekick and sauces. Or let's talk tender, quick chick tenders. Love me tenders. Love me some quick tenders. Ours are bigger, better, tastier. Or if you're feeling good old school comfort fried chicken, we got it. Hand breaded, down homier than anywhere. Quickstar, saving your nuggets from ordinary.
Don't miss the chance to learn from the pros. Check out WagerWise on Wednesdays on KGYMRadio.com. Brought to you by Betfred Sportsbook.
This spring training report is brought to you by True Green.
The O's won 101 games last season, yet already, this is a much more complete team than in 2023. Now that they've added former Cy Young Award winner Corbin Burns, Baltimore has the veteran ace it needs. With the promise of financial backing from potential new ownership, the Orioles will add bullpen depth as the season progresses. Now O's fans can wonder how quickly Jackson Holliday will make an impact. He is the easy favorite to win American League Rookie of the Year.
True Green, live life outside.
Kevin Cohen here from Unsportsmanlike on ESPN Radio for True Green. Are you ready to elevate your lawn game without breaking the bank? True Green has been the trusted choice for over 2 million homeowners for over 50 years. Visit TrueGreen.com and discover the easiest and affordable way to achieve a pro-level lawn guaranteed. Plus, enjoy True Green's verified price matching, ensuring you get the best lawn for the best price. Visit TrueGreen.com and transform your lawn effortlessly. That's TrueGreen.com. Your dream lawn is just around the corner.
334, we have an answer. By the way, on the text line, kudos going out to Josh and Ely, who said that team is a pain in the neck to guard, Mark. Very good. Well done, Josh. You get a gold star today. They are the Transylvania Pioneers. I could have guessed for 10 minutes and not come up with Pioneers.
I would never have said Pioneers either.
I would have had something that was, you know.
Some cryptid or supernatural creature, most likely.
Right. They do have one of their logos is a bat, so.
Then why not use then why not have the bats as their mascot?
No idea. But they are in the Final Four for the women's. They're the defending national champions of women's D3 basketball. So there you go. All kinds of great knowledge you did not know before listening into the gym class on a Thursday. Kevin Lehman, the coach, joining us right now. And it is our Off the Glass segment, the final pre-NCAA NIT edition of Off the Glass each Thursday, although we're going to have to move it next week since it'll be NCAA basketball time on Thursday. But welcome to championship week, and welcome to the wackiness that always happens during this week, Kevin.
I think, Scott, this year is crazier than I've ever seen it as far as bubble teams. There's a large amount of bubble teams that are from the Major Six conferences, which I think is unique to this season.
True. Very true. One of those is not the Houston Cougars, by the way. They are playing defense like nobody's business. Almost held TCU without a point for the first 10 minutes of their quarterfinal today.
Well, a little bit like Wisconsin did to Maryland in that game, or excuse me, Michigan State on their game against Minnesota I was just listening to. Yeah, interesting time of the year to see who's on the upswing in those conference tournaments. A lot of elimination games for teams. And who's got your mojo going right now? Because if you're not playing well, this is not a good time to be on the bubble.
Kevin, are you a proponent of the Oklahoma Sooners? Lost in the first round of the Big 12. Net of 44. But everybody has them in.
Yeah, they've got a solid in. Well, I guess not solid in, but last four buys right now. No, I'm kind of with you on this, Mark. You know, I think at some point they've got to put in some sort of rule. You've got to be at least 500 in your league to qualify for the NCAA tournament to open up a few more slots for these teams in the mid-majors that are battling to get in the tournament, winning 24, 25, 26 games and being left out.
Yep. Well, there are several of them, although McNeese got in, James Madison got in. One of those not getting in is going to be Richmond. They got beat earlier on today. They were the number one seed in the A-10. But let's start with Iowa and Ohio State tonight. This is an elimination game, certainly, for whoever loses this battle tonight. Ohio State, both these teams, you got to think, have to get to Sunday to even have a shot at it. Ohio State's playing as well as anybody in the Big Ten Conference, though, right now.
I think you're right there, Scott. I think to feel safe about it, if you're the Buckeyes or the Hawkeyes, you got to get into that Sunday game, which means you got to beat Illinois to get there. And then who else is coming out of that other bracket? Possibly Nebraska comes out of the bottom. But I think for Iowa, this comes down to can they control the tempo of this game? The two-point win over Ohio State and Carver Hawkeye. Remember, the end of that game was when Fran was fouling up three, extended the game. They kept fouling, putting Ohio State at the line, and then Ohio State finally missed. Patrick McCaffrey hit all those free throws down the stretch. I tell you what's got to happen today. Tony Perkins got to play well.
Yep.
Struggled against Illinois. I'm not sure why, but he had a great game against Ohio State in that win with 20 points, 7 rebounds, and 4 assists. You need that senior urgency out of Tony Perkins. Sanford's got to play well. I think if you see perimeter scoring and points in the paint, that's all good for the Hawks because that means this game is up-tempo. And we've seen this Iowa team is not relying on three balls much as they have in past seasons, so it's important for them to get out in transition and get points in the paint that way in transition.
Bigger problem for Purdue in the Big Ten tournament, Illinois or a Wisconsin team that destroyed Maryland today?
I think it's Illinois. I think because the athletic ability of Illinois, and they can spread you out. You know, the knock against Illinois is no true point guard, but with the way DeMass plays and those other guys, I don't think they need one. But they're athletic. We saw that here at Carver Hawkeye when you see them up close. This is a big, strong, athletic Illinois team. I like them coming out of that bottom bracket and then taking on Purdue. And I think that's going to be a great matchup if that's the way it goes. But, of course, you're a Hawk fan. You want to see the Hawks playing there on Sunday.
True. Iowa State does not get Texas. They get Kansas State. Just played Kansas State. Good or bad, they get the Wildcats again?
I think it's good because Kansas State won that game in Manhattan. Iowa State didn't shoot it well. Iowa State's been a little bit of a slump, as we all know, over the last couple of weeks. But you got an extra, like, maybe 2 or 3 days here for them to rest their legs. I think this is a good matchup for the Cyclones. But the problem they had in Manhattan, they forced 15 turnovers, but they committed 14 of their own. That's got to flip here for the Cyclones. They're one of the tops of the nation forcing turnovers. They've got to do that against Tyler Perry and the rest of that Kansas State crew. They've got to turn them over and get some points off turnovers. I think Iowa State's going to be really well today. I just got a feeling about they're a little bit run down, and you're amazed what those extra 2 days will give you as far as getting your legs fresh again.
Kansas ousted in the first round without its best two players. And my question is, Kevin, a lot of teams have injuries. How much does that play into the committee's selections?
Well, from what I'm hearing from this committee, it is, because they also noted, Mark, that Indiana State's two losses, the Illinois State loss at home, and then followed by the loss at Southern Illinois. Jason Kent was out one game and was out 3/4 of the game. The committee chair noted that here over the last 2 days that he didn't really say he was taking that into consideration, but did mention we are aware that Jason Kent didn't play. You'd know they're going to do that with Kansas, with McCullough out and Dickinson out. So are they going to do it with mid-major teams also? That'll be, I think, an interesting twist with this particular committee, is how they look at that, injuries. And you know, in the old days, Mark and Scott, we used to always say, how well is a team playing in the last 10 games? I got to think in the back of your mind, if you're the committee member, you got to look at that, even though that's not weighted anymore, technically. But if I'm sitting on that committee, we're all human, I'm looking for who's playing well right now.
Yeah, I don't know when that became not part of the equation, but... You're right. And 8582 on the text line says it's Bill Self load management. and to a certain extent, they are absolutely right about that. I mean, Kansas was going to maybe help themselves, what, one seed line? So why put those guys through some more physical problems to get one line?
Yeah, they need McCullough healthy. We've seen that. And what a weird year for Kansas, a team that's dominated this Big 12. You look at what they're coming in at, and even their seed in this particular tournament. It's just kind of like, whoa, can they turn on the Jets here when they get after Selection Sunday? I think this is a Kansas team that's got some problems. Not only they don't shoot it well, they have no depth, and you got guys with injuries. So I think this is – I don't have Kansas going – deep into this tournament.
Before we leave the Big 12 here, question on the text line. Does Cincinnati potentially make it in over Oklahoma if they win another game? I think they've got to probably get to the championship for the Bearcats to even be in the conversation.
That's a great question. When you start looking at these analytics, that's the one that jumps out at you, Cincinnati, because they're not doing bad. And if they can keep advancing, I think they're ones that's going to creep up to that. We're not even seeing them on the first four out and the second four out. And I was shocked that they're not in there. But this is a team that's pretty close to that cut line. If they keep going, I think they got to be in consideration. And that's, you know, what we talked about before. The thing about mid-major tournaments is it's elimination. You know, if you don't make it, you're going to sit there like Indiana State stewing for a week to 10 days. And if you're in the middle of a pack of these power conference teams, you're playing for your life to get in the tournament. So I think that's what this makes this champ week. I mean, can't miss TV right now.
Yeah, a big salute to Drake beating Indiana State in a whale of a game in the Missouri Valley. I wondered if you'd talk about not only that game, Kevin, but Darren DeVries, who's going to be he's going to hear some knocks on his door. He won't be coaching Tucker anymore. And your gut feeling on the Drake head coach?
Well, first of all, I don't know how it looked on TV because I had the radio call, but I thought this was a great showcase for the Mid-Missouri Valley Conference on national TV, that game, because you knew Indiana State was going to come back. Swope was 0 points at half, big time, scores 19 in the second half. Indiana State even takes the lead, you guys know, on Sunday, and then Drake was able to fight back. Darren DeVries is going to get his name tossed around a lot. His son's got another year of eligibility. I just don't see him leaving this year. And here's why, Mark and Scott. I know him well. They've been through a lot, that his family, this year. You know, Tucker lost a cousin that was a year younger than him at Hart AMS. It was Jared's son. So I interviewed Tucker afterwards. It was an emotional wreck when that game ended. I just don't see Darren DeVries leading Drake, taking his son away for his senior year, because he'd go with him. And the whole family lives in Iowa. After Tucker graduates, I think there's a better possibility that Darren DeVries might take one of these jobs. And obviously, if Mac at Creighton, who just signed an extension, Ohio State job came open, and surprisingly, Greg McDermott got an extension. That's the natural progression for Darren DeVries, is that Creighton job. But his name's going to get thrown around a lot, along with Josh Schertz of Indiana State.
Yeah, I would be...
I apologize, I was off a year. It just seems like Tucker's a senior.
No, he's got another year. He's not going anywhere. Yeah. They're going to be good against another year. Let's put it that way, Mark.
Yeah.
Kevin Lehman, the coach, joining us here at 3:47 on the Thursday edition of the Gym Class. Let's get to the elephant in the room, Indiana State. Helped today probably by Richmond getting beat, and that opened up one more bubble spot for Indiana State. You've seen a lot of basketball. You've called a lot of basketball this year. Is Indiana State deserving of one of those 68 spots?
Well, I'm biased because I get a big paycheck from the Valley, but I'd have to say yes. 28 wins in a conference that is ranked ninth in the country as far as power rankings of conferences. That's out of 32. So here's my question to you guys. If the ninth best conference in the country can't get two bids, there's something wrong with our system. And we listened to Josh Schertz after that loss to Drake plead his case. And once again, you know, they got the two losses, the two hiccups in mid-February with Jason Kinhurt. What do you guys think? 28 wins in your ninth best conference? Didn't you have two bids from that league?
I'm biased too. I like the MVC. Always have. But look at it on the court. I mean, if you don't think Indiana State and Drake were one of the best 68 this year, then, you know, I don't know what to tell you. I can't convince you then. Two good stories, very good coaches, good players. Player of the year in the MVC with Tucker DeVries. I'm all in on both of those teams.
Well, if you look at Indiana State's schedule, you know, their loss at Alabama, Robbie Avila didn't play. Of course, they got pumped pretty good there by 20. That loss at Michigan State, which was ended up being a 12-point loss, that game was, you know, in the last 2 minutes, it was basically anybody's game. And then, of course, they lost at Drake. The two we talked about, then the championship loss to Drake. I just think their resume is pretty solid for the Sycamore team. It'd be a shame if they get left out. But we've seen stranger things happen. And that Richmond team that just got knocked out, that's one the Panthers beat at the McLeod Center mid-December. I remember calling that game. Really, really good Richmond team.
Kevin, I'm on record as saying, you know, the system is really flawed because it's not the best 68 teams and hasn't been for a while. Until you get to that point, the NCAA tournament is flawed. As great as it is to see Longwood celebrate its conference championship win, anytime a team like that can get on a roll and win a tournament and get in the field of 68 over some of the teams we're talking about, it's not, I don't think it's as great a tournament as it could be. You're going to have the arguments, 69 and 70 and whatnot, but I would love in my perfect world to see the best 68 teams go at it.
Well, Mark, what about Maryland Baltimore County, a 16 seed beating Virginia? What about last year? Is it Fairleigh Dickinson beating Purdue? I mean,
I don't care.
Now what makes March so special when those things happen?
Yeah, what did they do the next round?
St. Peter's made a pretty good run, but here's the thing. We're all looking for David in that first weekend to win, but you want Goliath once we get into the Final Four in that Sweet 16.
That's a very good point.
Is that what you're saying, Mark?
That's a very good point. Hey, another good question on the text line here, Kevin. Do they look at the A-10 as being better than the MVC, and if so, how? And I looked at the net conferences right now. A-10 is eighth. The Missouri Valley is ninth. Now, the A-10 losing their number one in the quarterfinals today. Every bracketologist has that now a one-bid league, and the MVC, most of them, a two-bid league at the present time anyway. But they're right next to each other, so I think if Richmond goes to the championship, I think Richmond gets in.
Yeah. Here's another one. What do you got on that power rankings? Isn't the American 10th right behind the Valley?
Yes.
Yeah. And I haven't found the American, but I know South Florida was talked as a bid stealer on that one, too.
You think Wichita is a little unhappy they left the Valley quickly?
We've had this argument quite often. The teams that have left the Valley, the only ones, the one that has come on strong, made the right move was Creighton going to Big East.
Absolutely.
Tulsa left. What's happened? Tulsa has been a non-factor since they left the Valley. Wichita State is the same thing. And I guess we can look at Loyola's make a little run to A-10 this year, but they struggled last year. So it's kind of interesting to see that these teams – looking for, and here's what Loyola said over and over again. They kept telling us how many bids the A-10 was getting compared to the Missouri Valley. That was why they were moving. And you just made a great argument. Now the A-10 could get one bid. And then the Wichita State's big argument was, we can't get a high enough seed playing the Valley. Now they're not getting any seeds. There you go, Shockers.
Yeah, very interesting. Very interesting right there. All right, we're going to have to talk to you earlier in the week next week. Once we know the field of 68, and we'll know the NIT, more than likely that is going to be where Iowa is going to finish up. I know one bracketologist has Iowa State and Drake as a potential number two second round matchup. That would be saucy around here, wouldn't it?
Especially if it was in Omaha.
Yep, in Omaha.
We would have half of Iowa emptied out. That game in Omaha. I'm gonna have to pull some tickets out for the hat for that one. I have to call some huge favors if that.
And Iowa Bradley in the NIT.
Yeah, interesting. Because here's what's going to happen. We've got all selection shows on Sunday. NCAA, NIT, women's NCAA. So I'm gonna find out hopefully Sunday night if I have an NIT game. I may be just down the street from where I'm living.
All right, ma'am. We'll talk next week. I'll be in touch and look forward to it. Thanks, Kevin.
All right, guys. Enjoy the next 2 days.
We will.
The next 4 days, yeah.
A lot of basketball.
All right.
Kevin Lehman, the coach, our Off the Glass segment.
each Thursday right here on the Gym Class on 1600 ESPN. Quick break. We'll come back and have a bowling night in America wrap-up for you when we return.
If you're like most people, you've had your fair share of financial questions. Questions like, can I afford my son's travel hockey team? What if my daughter doesn't get that soccer scholarship? Will I be able to enjoy golf in retirement? At Empower, we know these questions can be stressful. We're here to help answer your what-ifs and empower what's next. Join 18 million Americans and take control of your financial future. Start today at empower.com.
Every 40 seconds, a child is reported missing. Find the Children is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping find missing kids. You can be a part of their mission by donating your unwanted car. Call 1-800-294-0222. You'll receive the maximum tax deduction, and we provide fast, free pickup. Call 1-800-294-0222. Donate your unwanted or unused car. Call 1-800-294-0222. This advertisement was paid for in partnership with Cars R Us and Find the Children.
May City Bowl is always a good time, Dukes.
Even when we're not bowling so great, Scott.
Well, May City Bowl does it right. A full-service pro shop for serious bowlers.
And fun for everyone, like Glow Bowling Friday and Saturday nights.
Our team, the Rusty Nails, is in the adult league.
But they have leagues for every age and skill.
And you can call ahead for open lane times.
So whether you're leaguers or just want to have fun, it's always a great time at May City Bowl, off Williams Boulevard Southwest in Cedar Rapids, the official sponsor of Bowling Night in America on the Gym.
And it was a bowling night in America last night. And this update brought to you by May City Bowl, Trent Street Southwest in Cedar Rapids, the home of Bowling Night in America. Mark.
Well, great bounce back for the Rusty Nails with a 17-13 victory after kind of a woeful week last week. Rusty Nails in a tie for fifth in the 14-team adult Evergreen League. Mike Prochazka with a high game last night in the league, 268. Our own Rod Bruner second with a 259. High series, Tyler Follett with a 714. And Bruner and Troy Beeler, each with a 681, tied for third in high series of the night. So congrats to those two guys. And Scott, not so much you.
Not so much me last night. No, I did not help one bit, one iota. Congratulations to Austin for taking three from me last night. They are good guys, and we had a great time last night. And look forward to it. Not many weeks left. We're down to, what, five, I think, before the big championship. So, yeah, getting down to it anyway. But if you'd like to give them a call out there, try some open bowling, and maybe take a look ahead. They do have leagues over the summer. Mark, go ahead and let them know the website and the phone number.
Yes, indeed. The website, maycitybowlcr.com. A lot of the information that you touched on is there. Or you can just give them a call, 362-0136.
Yeah. And, you know, get your youngsters interested in bowling as well. Great to do a lot of things on Saturday mornings over there. And mentioned that golf, the players going on right now. Rory is in front, but real quick, Mark, in the last minute here, Rory involved in a little bit of a rules frap here today with his two playing partners, especially Victor Hovland. Did not think Rory took a proper drop on the seventh hole today. So, yeah, they are not going to be exchanging Christmas cards, I don't think, anytime soon between Rory and Victor. I don't know.
Nope. Where does your ball cross the hazard line when you hit it in the water?
When nobody is there really to see it.
It was up for debate.
It was a lot of debate and a lot of consternation on that. But Rory is one of the leaders at Last Look, and that is going to be a good tournament throughout the weekend. All right, Mark, we'll talk a lot of hoops again tomorrow, and have a good night.
Sounds great. Talk then.
Spencer on Sports coming your way next right here on 1600 ESPN. We will talk to you tomorrow at 3.
Something amazing is happening with supply chains. They're running themselves quickly and securely. That's because retailers consulted with CDW, who designed